Hello out there. You are listening to Linda Sims here live on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh107.1fmradio. You can also download an app from your Play Store called TuneIn. And once you download it, please search WWGH. Or you can call in during this live broadcast by dialing 740-383-9944 if you have any questions or if you would like to be a part of this broadcast. Today is June the 28th. This is the 179th day of the year, and there remains 177 days. So get busy out there. Do those things that you have planned to do and haven't had time to do. Do you have your gardens ready yet? Have you planted? This very dry season seems like it's going to be. So hopefully we get some rain here pretty soon, right? Right. So if we're on the same page, just say yes. All right? Okay. Now, let me go from there to here. One of them days. It seems like it's a Monday, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Hold your head up, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, let me share with you those who faithfully supported Voice of a People, starting with Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, address 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, phone number 740-223-1515. Or www.logosChristianMinistries.com. They do have an ongoing announcement every third Saturday of every month. They have free produce at Logos Christian Ministries. The next one will be July the 16th, 2022. They begin at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Now, if you cannot take advantage or use the free produce, make sure you share this with someone who can. Okay? Thank you. We also have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. The owner is Cheryl Lee. Location is LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. And if I didn't say it, my name is Linda Sims, and happy Tuesday. I'll talk about the Joy Fest that we just had this weekend, but right now I'm going to give the announcement of Mays Community Temple Church of God in Christ of presenting the return of the Hoops Classic Tournament. This will take place July the 15th through the 17th, okay, at Martin Luther King Park, and July the 13th at 6 p.m. The tournament drawing will be at Lincoln Park. For more information, contact Johnny Mays, 740-751-5662 or 740-382-5350. Okay? And it says it's $200 per team. So don't forget the Classic Hoops. I think Johnny Mays has been doing this over 30 years. It was one of his childhood dreams, okay? So mark your calendars, get your teams ready, get the youth ready, and let's go out and support and have a really good time, all right? Okay. I also like to start my show off with a thought for today. This thought is titled Awakening Self-Awareness. And it goes like this. The foundation of all spiritual growth and personal development is the awakening of self-awareness. Most people, however, are not yet self-aware. And the majority of those are not aware that they are not aware. Does that make any sense? Self-awareness is easy and begins with simply taking a mental step back and observing your thoughts, your feelings, your attitudes, and your actions. Whenever you do, you learn about yourself. And the basis of personal change and growth is always learning. Step back. What do you see? What enters your awareness? What does it tell you? What does it show you about yourself? Don't judge it, just see it. Don't run away from what you see, just watch it. Accept it. Allow whatever is happening within your thoughts and feelings just to be. And suddenly you will find that inner peace which surpasses all pleasure. And peace surpasses all understanding. And that peace comes from the Lord. Now let me turn my attention to my guest today, Johnny Jackson.
Yo, yo.
How you doing?
I'm feeling good.
Good.
I was sharing with you earlier that, you know, it's the week after, you know, Black Joy Summerfest.
Right, right.
Who, you know, we help co-coordinate together.
Yes.
And I always have that hangover of good energy afterwards, so I'm just excited to be here. It's been a minute, and talk a little bit about Black Joy Summerfest and reparations. So,
yeah,
excited to be here.
Both good subjects, huh?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. So, what stood out the most to you about Black Joy Fest this year? This is our second.
Yes. Yeah. The families. Oh, okay. The amount of families that we had. Come with their little kids or, you know, teenagers, and those families coming for our, we had a particular family station with games and painting and all types of things. So seeing that aspect, and then we had new people come, and we had old friends also come. So I'm just, it was one of my dreams. Like you were sharing about Johnny Mays and his dreams of the Mays community.
Right.
Hoop. Classic.
Yes.
And that's always a summer, it's a summer imprint.
Yes, it
like
is.
We know that that's going to happen every year. So
right.
Now in this kind of almost like post-COVID, but COVID life,
right.
It's exciting to see the Mays Temple Community Hoops Classic come back.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and then like, you know, Black Joy Summerfest was just something that I think is a warm-up to that.
That's true.
Yeah.
So true. It was worth the effort.
Yes.
Worth the work.
Mm-hmm.
And the anticipation of the community enjoying, coming out, supporting,
yeah.
And enjoying themselves.
Yes.
So it was a success.
Yes, yes, yes.
We thank Jess Holler.
Definitely.
For coming to Marion and being a part and
yes.
Getting us all stirred up to do something.
Yes.
You know, for ourselves.
Definitely. So, yeah, shout out to Jess Holler and all the work that she's done with Marion Voices. I always have to go back into the history. Jess and I met at a protest in the summer of 2017.
Really?
And yeah, this protest was in Columbus to take down the Columbus statue. And from there, we then met again at, I think, the Historical Society to talk a little bit about what a project would look like.
Mm-hmm.
Around like oral histories and Black histories and working class histories. And those things have just morphed into multiple projects, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have Black Joy Summerfest. You have Black Christmas.
Right, Black Christmas.
Yeah.
And the Humane Society, but Ohio Marion Historical Society.
Yep.
And the displays that we have there.
We have
our room.
Our ongoing room and display there. And we've had different conversations with the Black community here to uplift and highlight the deep histories we have here in Marion. So I think that is as exciting, as enriching. And for me, you know, I work in Marion City Schools in my day job as a diversity and equity supervisor. And bringing culture into the school, but then also having, you know, educators learn a lot more about the Black community, whether it is our churches or our histories or, like, I listening to you,
right.
And you talk about how Logos and Inspect Ohio and Mays, how they sustain and support your work.
Right.
that's something I think that is important for me in my day job, is to find all those different gyms in Marion, Ohio that
true.
Black people are kind of doing and cultivating.
That's true. Yeah. So true. And it's nice to have people to support you.
Yes.
You know, that believe in what you're doing
mm-hmm.
for the community, which your job is the same.
Yeah.
You know, being in the school system and dealing with other people's children.
Yes.
You know, that's a great work also. And carries a lot of responsibility.
It does. It does. It does because, I mean, if we were to believe that children are very precious and the work of being an educator is honorable, then you have to believe in young people even when they're at their most troubled state.
Right.
And believe in them in a way where we can always figure out how do we put a community around them in order for them to grow.
Right.
Like, even my own story, I wouldn't be who I was if I didn't have, you know, my grandmother, Willie Ree Goodman, rest her soul, Christ Missionary Baptist Church, my parents, you know, Black community
right.
members, school members. So that little village that took care of me is something that now I feel like I have responsibility
right.
and I can pay back.
Right.
And to doing just everyday works, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I think that more or less says that we individually, in a way, have become a community. A little village,
mm-hmm.
you know, with our responsibilities that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Tara Dyer,
yes.
Jackie Peterson,
mm-hmm.
talking about Primrose. I mean, this is over and beyond what you do
oh,
every
yeah.
day, you know, at
yeah.
the school. And Primrose is at the college, and Tara's also on the board
yes.
of Marion City Schools. Pastor Jackie Peterson has her own congregation.
Yes.
But still in the community.
Yes.
Making a huge impact.
Impact, yeah.
For people
yes.
and their children.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's important to understand that this is a collective effort.
Yes.
Like you're saying, you know, there's Primrose at MTC. There's, you know, Kathleen Clemens and Sean
yes.
Jackson
yes,
at OSU Marion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Miss Dyer, which I'm so excited for her
right.
to be a part of our school board. You have Pastor Jackie, who's at Logos, but then also sits on, you know, multiple boards.
Right.
And it's exciting for me as a young person or becoming middle-aged person to see elders do that. But then also, you know, you alongside others have committed their time to Marion Voices because it allows us to talk and stretch what leadership looks like in Marion, Ohio. And that's the exciting piece that just keep doing the work.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's been very rewarding.
Yeah.
Just seeing the benefits.
Yes.
Of us coming together as a community. But still.
Yeah.
Even when we're not together, we're
yeah.
still a village.
Yes.
Still trying to help the community. In
yeah.
our, you know, in our own efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Your
and
children, you know, grandchildren, other
sure.
people's kids, you know, that may be around you,
yeah.
still a voice.
Yeah.
You know, so, and when we come together, we're even more dynamic
mm-hmm.
as a group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because all of our voices come together as one.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose of all the meetings that we have.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you... I heard that you're losing your superintendent and
yes.
already have a new one, right?
We have a new assistant superintendent.
Okay.
We're super excited about our new assistant superintendent.
Okay.
Her name is Olympia Della Flora, the first woman of color to be
oh, okay.
assistant superintendent in Marion City Schools.
Wow, okay.
So super excited about her coming on to Marion City Schools when we're in this time of transition.
Right.
And also, I do believe, like, you know, our mission is to inspire a community of achievement, and excited to bring someone new on who has a vision of what schooling can be,
right.
education can
right.
be. So I'm excited, and I know many community members are excited about bringing, you know, Olympia Della Flora on to
Good.
Be our assistant superintendent. So
I like the way you said that. So people can see what education can be.
Can be, yeah. Yes.
Because, you know, we all have a perception of what it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it doesn't always turn out that way.
Sure.
But to see what it can be,
yeah,
now, that's powerful.
Yeah.
That's really powerful.
And, you know, that really gets into the conversation, what is owed to Black children, families, and communities in the United States of America when it comes to education? America has a debt to pay to Black kids, community members, families when it comes to education. One of the things that we did see, it's been 68 years since Brown versus Board of Education, which is a legislation that desegregates schools and says that Black schools and white schools must get equitable and fair resources, right?
Okay.
So it's been 68 years, and with that, Brown versus Board of Education, one of the unintended consequences is that we lost thousands of Black teachers because many Black children in the South went to white schools. Mm-hmm. Therefore, those Black teachers were unable to really get jobs, and they became, you know, janitors, custodians, bus drivers, people who had to go into other professions, right? So, like, when we start reimagining schools, one of the conversations I think we have to have is, like, what does the U.S. owe to Black children, families, and communities? And that's where I think a conversation around reparations needs to happen.
Do you think that conversation is going to happen?
Well, the conversation, the reason why I'm excited about, let's say, Black Joy Summerfest, mm-hmm. is because whenever you're able to carve out time for Black Joy in the midst of a world that is very anti-Black, mm-hmm. then you actually can pay to Black people something that's so wonderful, right?
Right, right?
You know, in our conversation, we were talking about seeing the families, seeing the Black veterans talk, the grill masters,
right, right.
seeing people that are able to do community. Usually, we reserve that summertime for what, a family reunion,
mm-hmm.
and that might be that time. These conversations around reparations for Black communities, they're happening right now in Amherst, Massachusetts. They're happening in Evanston, Illinois.
Wow.
And they're happening in the state of California, where they have a reparations task force where they're studying how much and what is owed to Black residents of the state of California. So these conversations are happening already, and it's exciting, but I think it also has to happen on a local, state, national level, you know.
Right, right, mm-hmm. right. Well, that's good. It's good that those states have picked up the banner.
Yes.
You know, and addressing the issue, and we know that goes way back to, what, Civil War?
Oh, yeah, post-Civil War, 40 acres and a mule,
yeah.
and saying that what is owed to those Black veterans and communities that are coming up out of slavery. They're coming up out of that destitute, as many people say, like one of the worst sins on American soil, next to, you know, the taking of indigenous First Nation people's land. So,
Indians, right?
Yes. Like we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge, you know, in Marion, Ohio, there's definitely a deep imprint. I just saw one of the villages. They had the Oorang Bang Festival to commemorate a Native American football team,
really?
With Jim Thorpe. So Jim Thorpe is from Marion County.
Okay, I've heard that name before.
And they had a Native American football team that was really good back in the day.
Okay.
So it's so, Marion has such a rich history when it comes to, if you say, like, African Americans, but then also, you know, Native Americans as well. Such a rich history. So I definitely think that a conversation around reparations and what's owed to, again, Black children, families, and community members is so needed right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Marion offered a lot of opportunities and a lot of jobs. And even when our President Harding came through, he stood up for people of color. You know, whether we helped him get elected or not. I don't even know if we had voting rights during that time. But
sure.
He did stand up for black people, and he did hire blacks.
Sure.
So it's just what it is and what we have gone through. I mean, we can't change history. History is history.
Yeah.
And we had to come through that. And I do pray that, you know, something does happen through that. Watching one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind, yeah.
And after the Civil War, they was telling the blacks, said, yeah, you get 40 acres and a mule, and this
sure.
is in the movie. You
yeah.
know, like, and people are so excited that,
yes.
you know, they can start their own lives.
Yeah.
Or have their own farms, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And build their own houses and,
uh-huh.
and things like that. So that would be great. That
yeah.
really would be great.
Yeah.
Really would be.
Just imagine what communities could do with reparations, mm-hmm. what they could do along with having money to build their own home mm-hmm. or invest in education
right.
or be able to, what we've always wanted to do in the black community is self-determination.
Right.
I think that that is a very deep tradition. And, you know, I brought this book of The Narrative Life of Frederick Douglass, an American Slave.
Okay.
Because I think that if there's any narrative that you read to really think about the abolitionist tradition or the black tradition in, you know, in the U.S., it's like Frederick Douglass who talks through what it meant to be a slave boy and then escape freedom and then reflect back on what it meant for you to learn how to read.
Right.
Like, I think that that is such a powerful thing. And that's why black people particularly have always had such a intimate relationship with literacy mm-hmm. and reading and wanting to understand, like, what it means to be human
yeah.
or American, that
right.
type of thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And learning things, you know. Seeing the world through other people's eyes.
Yes.
And, yeah.
And being empathetic to
yeah.
other people.
That's true.
You know, like you have many African American women who help out in different wars when it comes to treating soldiers. Like so we have such a long history of being there. I think of, you know, you brought up Logos and some of
yes.
their mission,
yes.
their mission to feed people.
Right.
It's such a huge mission, and that's in a tradition,
mm-hmm.
like a long tradition
yes.
in our communities, right?
In individual homes,
yes.
Yes, anyone was welcome to have a plate or a drink of water.
Yeah,
come in. You need to use the bathroom. Or
yeah,
people you didn't even know.
Uh huh.
You know? So yes, it has been a tradition.
Yeah, so you know, with any conversation around what is owed to black Americans, I really think it has to start with them
mm-hmm.
and talking about what has happened and what is owed and then what that might look like in a community. Let's say, you know, Marion is what, 30 to 40,000 people?
Well, yeah.
Of something
or
like that.
40 to 60, I think.
40 maybe. To 60.
Let's hope so.
Let's say, and black people were maybe 10% of the population, 9
yeah.
to 10%.
Yeah. You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because, you know, you have the black community, but then you also have many mixed race or multiracial
okay.
Relationships.
Sure.
And then those young people might identify as black and white or black in another race. But, you know, they are a part of our larger community.
Yes.
So let's say we have 4,000 to 6,000 black people in Marion County. What does it look like to uplift them through some type of reparations package?
Right.
That would really turn the economic, housing, education, ways of being for black people around in Marion
oh, yeah.
County.
Right.
Really, you would turn, because it is an investment,
right.
but it's no different than, you know, when Japanese Americans were interned during World War II. Like, and then after the World War II,
because
they
of the bomb.
Yes. So then when, you know, the U.S. figures out that that's wrong, then they pay them a reparations, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's important for us to be able to tell the truth of what happened.
Right.
And then be able to repair it.
Right.
By ways of money, housing, education, better health sources. And I think that it's just something that we're owed. It's not, it's nothing that is outside of the box. Is actually within the framework of the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Right, doing what's right.
Doing what's right. Yeah. Like, I really, you know, going back to that notion of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing that Black Americans and Black Marianites want more than that. You know, like, that's what we want. We want that fair shake. And I think reparations would be a really important feather in the hat of, you know, our community.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's an investment.
It is.
And everyone would benefit.
It is.
Definitely help the economy, which is already in the ditch. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At least that's what they say.
Yeah.
You know, and gas is sky high.
Right.
And,
right.
I heard somebody saying about the fracking out there, you
mm-hmm.
know, toward California and how it causes earthquakes and everything. Well,
mm-hmm.
Bush had left that alone. Not Bush, but... Biden,
mm-hmm.
would have left that alone, we wouldn't be having these high gas prices, you know.
Mm.
I feel like this. They're just getting back to stimulus money
mm.
that they sent out to everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So our minds are so connected because I was actually, the whole time that we're going through the pandemic and we're getting stimulus checks, my first mind is like, oh, so we can actually pay reparations. Like, if we can think about how we're going to stimulate the economy,
mm-hmm.
particularly the working class and middle class people.
Right.
Like, working class people are putting that money right back into the economy. How?
Right back.
Gas,
right.
groceries, rent, utilities, and other things that are just
clothing,
like clothing, yeah. right? Like,
yeah.
many of those working class and middle class people aren't putting that money into savings. They're putting it, what, right back into the economy to stimulate.
Right.
The same thing would happen with reparations. Black people would put that money back into
right.
those communities and stimulate local, state, and national economies like
right.
this. Because that's what we already do.
That's
you
true.
Know?
That's
so,
true.
I mean...
They say we spend more money than anybody else.
We do. I mean, and it would be good for us to spend more money in our community. Make those, as they call it, make those dollars flip over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know... sponsor community programs
right.
like yours. Put money
yeah.
right. Like, put money into, you know, local entrepreneurs and everything like that. So, you know, I think reparations in my lifetime, I feel that reparations could be paid to my generation and a generation that preceded me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that if I can, in my living breath and time, I can advocate. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use my voice to do that. Yeah.
That's good. That's
mm-hmm.
really good. And, you know, like, I know that has always been on the table. Like
sure.
I said earlier, since Civil War.
Sure.
And everybody's still been waiting, you know, even though we have tenacity about ourselves.
Yes.
And, we're hard type of people to be knocked down. We,
yeah.
we still have that thrive and that push. And
yes.
to make it.
Yeah.
You know, to be something in,
yeah.
in this world, you know, and to have something in
mm-hmm.
this world, you know. And to teach our children and our
yeah.
grandchildren the same thing, you know. All is not lost.
Yeah.
You know, we just depend on God and,
mm-hmm.
you know, let Him open doors that no man can close and,
right.
and close doors that no man can open.
Sure.
You know, because He's still on the throne.
Yeah. And what do they say? You need a the faith of a grain of a mustard seed.
Yes.
And if you've ever seen a mustard seed, it's this big. It's it's small. You can barely see it.
Right.
Right. And I think that every generation pays that forward to the next generation. That type of faith and self-determination and like a radical hope.
True.
In things, you know. The things that you cannot see, but you actually hope for it.
Yes, you hope for
no.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And it manifests itself.
It
know?
Does.
You got enough trust in the Lord and let Him know what my ambitions are.
Yes.
You know, because the dreams we do have,
mm-hmm.
He's placed them there,
mm-hmm.
in the first place. So
right.
It's not that we even come up with these things.
No.
You know.
They've been spoken around us, or, you know, given to us by God, or given to us by our ancestors. So a lot of us are a manifestation of what has been prayed.
Yes.
Like, I know that. I know from, like, my grandparents and great-grandparents, a lot of the things that I'm doing now, I'm just a prayer into the future.
Prayer.
That's all I am,
prayer,
right?
And
prayer and answer, right.
Covered,
right.
By the blood
Say
of
it.
Jesus, right?
Yes.
I plead the blood over my family, my children, my grandchildren, down to the fourth and fifth generations.
Yes.
That's how they pray.
Yes.
That's how we should pray,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it should not stop here.
Yeah.
Not prayer.
Yeah.
You know,
that's real.
It's an ongoing thing that we really have to push and do, because there's such opposition, not just with people, but other forces.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real.
Other forces. And it is real.
Mm-hmm.
It is real,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the enemy has so much control that God allows him to have.
Sure.
You know, he just can't do what he wants,
yeah.
when he wants, how he wants.
Yeah.
He has to have permission.
Yes.
So all of your trials and tribulations are just sometimes not even your fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but sometimes we listen to the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the awareness that you're talking about, and it takes me back to our thought for today.
Yeah, yeah.
Awakening, self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somehow the Lord always gives me the right thought for today.
Sure.
Whoever the person is going to be. And
mm-hmm.
I've been thinking, well, I wasn't going to even say this one today, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it fits.
It
in,
fits,
right?
Yeah.
Step back.
Mm.
What do you see? What enters your awareness?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like being real, looking at myself,
yes.
seeing who I am.
Yeah.
You know, where am I?
Yeah.
Where do I want to be?
Yeah.
You know, and just like you, look
yeah.
at where you are today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're with the children at the Marion City Schools in a very nice position.
Yep.
You know, self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to take time to evaluate Johnny.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this just didn't happen.
No, it didn't. And, you know, where am I? Who am I? Who do I belong to?
Right.
So that is, like, I'm on my mother's side, I'm the first generation being born outside the South, right?
Okay.
On my dad's side, I'm the second generation. So, like, who do I belong to is also asking, like, who are my people? So
right.
I always think about, like, the people in which I am working for,
right.
and with, because in order for me to feel that sense of being grounded, I want to be grounded with people who I'm working with that I feel like I'm aware of myself,
right.
but they give me this type of hope,
right.
because they've given me a name in which I has direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of my name Johnny. I think of John the Baptist. You know, this idea of thinking about a community in which you're in relationship with.
Right.
I think that is it's important that our young people, and us, and our elders, we think of the question around who am I and who do we belong to, because I think that returns us to something that's deeper than
right.
self.
Right.
And when you were talking a little bit about those forces of evil or those forces of opposition, letting our young people and ourselves be grounded in something, that'll allow us to withstand things like the drugs and the alcohol and the prison and any of those forces that are not of yourself, not of your people. It'll allow you to stay grounded. You know,
and that foundation was already laid, and that was the foundation of Christ.
Yeah,
that's where it came from. That's
yeah.
what our people believed in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's who they prayed to.
Mm-hmm.
Only one true and living God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Who manifested Himself on this earth?
Yeah.
In a body.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't believe it, but
yeah.
you know, or understand it. I think it's more about understanding.
Yeah.
Well, when God is a mystery, there's a lot of things you can't understand.
Sure.
But you have to believe it.
Yeah.
Whether you can put you can, it in like, language see or it words. Or, right. You
or, yeah, definitely.
They believed.
Yeah.
That he would open doors for you.
Yeah.
And for me. You know, my dad always say, hold your head up, you know, yeah. walk straight, you know, because of what he went through.
Yeah.
And he came here so that we wouldn't have to go through some of the things he went through in the South.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he always gave us a sense of pride. He was a very prideful man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he really fit right in.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I don't think a lot of people understand.
Yeah.
But as black people, now, not everybody, but I think we're the most understanding, the most humble people that you would meet. We can get along with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know you know that's true.
Mm-hmm.
We can get along with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We forgive people that hurt us and do things, you know, despitefully to use us. But we have a forgiving heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just do. And I don't even sometimes why.
Yeah.
Why can't I be upset, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just something I think that as a people, God has just bestowed upon us.
Yeah. You know, when you say that, it reminds me of, you know, there's so many great stories. You're talking about the Bible. One of the stories is, you know, when Jesus is frustrated with the people, because the people haven't been doing his mission, and he walks into the temple and he starts flipping tables and because they're not serving the least of these, they're not serving the sick, the poor, the women, the immigrant. I think that part of black people's kind of history, we understand that how we've been treated in this particular nation. So there's a certain type of empathy that we can have for other people, right?
Right, right.
And then
where it comes from, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, like in the Bible, when it says what you do for them, you do for the least of these, talking about like how you serve people.
Right.
I think that, you know, there that part, like I grew up going to Christ Missionary Baptist Church. And we always had that notion of service to, you know, the church, to the community, to that type of thing. But also I remember those messages.
Right.
And I feel like when those messages are baked into your spiritual awakening, when they're baked into like how you do community, then you become a community that is aware, that can do service. And that can be open and accepting to other communities, no matter where they come from.
That's true.
You know, and I think that's the magnificent thing about being black, is trying to be self-determined in a country that has put you through a lot, and then also trying to figure out how you're in relationship to a country that says that every year on July 4th, we're going to celebrate this thing called independence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And trying to figure out, does independence include black people? I think that is always something that we're trying to, like, update, like your computer, you're trying to update the democracy and trying to say, like, hey, are we included? What does that look like?
Right.
I mean, when it comes to this thing called a democracy, where do black people fit and belong in your kind of democracy, America?
Right, right.
So that's always the question, is like, how do we imagine democracy? Like the Harriet Tubmans and the Frederick Douglasses and all of our ancestors who were kind of like thinking and writing. But not just those people, like people in your own family, like you were saying, like your father who thinks so much about not himself, but his ancestors, his kind of like next generation, say like, hey, we need to get somewhere so you can be determined.
Yes.
You can have freedom.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm always excited about telling and talking about these black stories, because what democracy looks like in America is something that's always ongoing.
Right.
And it's always a project that can be better.
Yeah.
So that's the exciting piece
for
me.
A lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, not just us.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I've heard people say, well, we haven't made the mark yet? You know, mm-mm. They're saying, seems like you always wanted more. You don't have enough yet. It's
yes.
People, you know.
Yeah.
And it's hard for people to understand.
Yeah.
Or see it from our perspective.
Our perspective. Because what we see is this kind of panoramic view of America. Like, you see it from the eyes of what you live, your particular vantage point, but then also the sum of stories that have been passed down to you, what we've survived. I think of, 1919 in Marion, Ohio, when you have 200 or 300 some odd black people that are forced out of Marion. And that's, a little bit under 100 years ago. You know, imagine if that community isn't forced out of Marion, like the things that were probably happening in that particular black community over on the West End. Like, we're kind of like living out the history, because history is always alive.
Yes, it is.
And kind of like understanding what happened and then moving forward. That way we can, again, go back to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. How can we sew that up for black people in America? Like, I think that's an important thing that we can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can continue to work at it.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And when you brought that up about when they were forced out of Marion.
Yes.
And I had read about President Harding.
Yeah.
When he was running for president, he was in the South.
Yes.
And he was letting people know it was okay.
Yeah.
To come back.
Sure.
To Ohio, because people had left.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they were ran out, you know. And, I have respect for him for that.
Sure.
I don't know what else he did, and I know a lot of
Definitely.
People said he wasn't this or he wasn't that great, but I respect him for that.
Yeah. You know what's amazing? Like, I always think about President Harding because I forget. I think he's at some HBCU in the South. I think it's like Tuskegee or one of the HBCUs in the South when he makes that speech, right?
Right.
When he's
right,
making this speech right. around the importance of
Alabama. Somewhere around there.
Somewhere. It's either Alabama or Mississippi. During his campaign, I think in 1928, something like that, the Marion Star actually like runs ads and talks about like he's actually African American and saying these things around like, his grandmother is black and these type of things. And he wins even though that happens, right? I think that's really powerful. But what's also really powerful is that this is before the Civil Rights Act.
Mm-hmm.
This is before Brown versus Board of Education, 1954.
Right.
That, to stand on a campus and say that, black people deserve rights and this America is for all people.
Right.
I think that's a really powerful testament to, who he is. And so I really do think that it is our allies that can do more of that.
Yes.
It are people who are around us that know about our plight as black folks, who understand and want to be in relationship.
Right.
Those are the people that really can. You can be a Harding every day.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have to just be on a campus. You can organize a book club.
Right.
You can be in relationship to community-sponsored organizations.
Right, right.
There's so many ways to be in relationship with black organizations and black people that I think that spirit is really important. So I love that you bring that up a couple times around Harding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. He had a big, I say responsibility
yep.
or plot or ploy in all of this because he felt that
mm-hmm.
equality
mm-hmm.
was due to all of us,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was a grave situation.
Yes.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So then you look at Marion; it became one of the most industrial states in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
All the jobs that came,
mm-hmm.
Marion Power Shovel,
mm-hmm.
Pollock Steel, and
mm-hmm.
all those. Huber,
yeah,
all those people,
mm-hmm.
Came here and railroad,
sure,
jobs,
mm-hmm.
jobs,
yeah,
for people, and they came here and they worked.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't trying to do things for free,
sure,
or trying to do people wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They they wanted to be seen as people.
Yeah.
And that they deserve the right to work and sure. have, like everybody else. But Johnny.
Yes. Yeah, that's fine. It's been a great conversation.
Already we are out of time. Thank you so much
You're
for
welcome.
Coming.
You're welcome.
Sharing this day with me.
Definitely.
I was talking so much, I missed my music.
It's okay.
I'm apologizing to my listeners. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And don't forget, download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. And that we are on www.wwgh107.1.com. So internet goes all over the world. Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in